Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, now streaming, only on Paramount Plus.
I want to pump the brakes on my enthusiasm as a former Patriot so much because what I see is so positive.
Yeah, he's...
And then all of the MVP talk and the number one seed talk, it's like, are we really seeing this already? Already with this kid, it's just great, exciting things that are happening.
We're building the hype. We're building the hype up, and Brew, you already know the Patriot way. They stay below the radar. So we like what we see coming out of New England.
Let's go, Drake.
Hour number two here, Christian Arcand Show, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight on this Tuesday, the 25th of November. We got amateur night tomorrow night, which I'm looking forward to when everyone's back in town from school. All getting together at the local watering hole. Used to be my favorite day of the year. And then when I was bartending, it was my least favorite day of the year. Now it's then it became another good day, and now I'm too old for it, and it doesn't matter. We are coming to you live along with Boston up in Portland and Saco, Upper Valley, Keene, Brattleboro, Springfield, Worcester, Providence, Cape Cod, and the islands. And if you're not in any of those places, don't forget you can stream WEEI anytime on the Odyssey app as well as the iHeartRadio and the TuneIn apps as well. We're going to talk with John Lyons here in about a half hour. Look forward to talking with him about what's going on with this Patriots team. As you just heard there from Teddy Bruschi, almost too rosy. Everything has been so positive that he doesn't know what to do with himself. Teddy Bruschi, who's not exactly a Patriots skeptic. He loves the Patriots. He's very open about it in his commentary. Doesn't mean he won't criticize the occasional New England Patriot from time to time, but overall he's very positive about the team. It's a year where you can be very positive about the team and not feel like you're being a honk about it, but even he is looking at it like, all right, we've got to pump the brakes a little bit here. Everything has been super, super positive, except, of course, for the injuries. The injuries on the offensive line. And that's sort of where I want to go with this, because this, to me, seems like a stretch where the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator, head coach, basically the offensive coaching staff in general, this is where you earn your money, right? They've been great so far, and they've had some adversity to deal with. They had to go a few weeks without their starting running back, Ramondre Stevenson. They had to go a few weeks without one of their top wide receivers, Kayshon Boutte. That's true. There's no getting around that. They've faced some injury woes already. Not major ones, just a couple of weeks here and there with these guys, but they were able to, in the case of Josh McDaniels anyway, concoct an offense that showcased Travion Henderson. He had a couple of tremendous games. And with Kayshon Boutte out, you saw guys like Mac Hollins really step up. You saw Steph Diggs play very well. You saw contributions come from other places in the absence of Boutte. I'm not sure that you have that kind of depth and that kind of wiggle room when it comes to your starting left guard and your starting left tackle. With the two of them out, that's 40% of your line. And I would guess that means new blocking schemes, new play calls, maybe 12 personnel, you know, that type of thing. Like, you've now, and I think they've done a decent job of this, not a great one. It's not been all sunshine and roses for the offensive line, and certainly not for Drake May when it comes to him getting rushed, getting hit, getting sacked, getting, you know, knocked around a little bit here and there. And not all of those have been the fault of the offensive line. I don't mean to imply that they have been, but you're looking at a run game that hasn't exactly set the world on fire this year, and you're looking at a quarterback that's getting sacked at a pretty alarming rate. And that was the Cincinnati Bengals last week. And before both Campbell and Wilson went down, before those two guys went down with their injuries and got carted off the field, the Bengals' pass rush was getting to Drake May. In that first quarter, Drake May was very uncomfortable. He looked like last year Drake May against like Houston, which is a legitimate pass rush. I mean, you look bad against that pass rush, well, what are you going to do? It's the best pass rush in the league. But we're talking now about the Cincinnati Bengals, who by all metric, every metric is the worst defense, one of the worst defenses ever, but certainly the worst defense in the league this year. And that pass rush was getting to you. And they were doing it different ways. They were coming off the edge. They were stunting up the middle, which I think the whole league got an idea of, all right, maybe we can do this based off of the Falcons game. It was the Falcons game, I think, it really kind of exposed that. Against Cleveland, yeah, Myles Garrett's a freak. He's going to get in there. But, you know, not everybody has a Myles Garrett. Is there other ways to get to this QB? Is there other ways to try and rush this this line? And I think the Falcons may have uncovered something with those stunts. It seems like that's been working for teams to try that. And maybe Drake May's holding the ball a little too long. That can be the case as well. But this seems to me like, okay, you passed the test with Stevenson and Booty. But now what you're looking at, I think, is a little bit more dire. It's a little bit more of an, okay, we had some a little bit of depth at running back. Not really. I mean, they had to go on the practice squad. But at the very least, they had another guy, a second-round draft pick, that they could throw out there and say, you're our lead back for a couple of weeks. Can you do it? And he could. And he was good. I mean, he had some great games. And in the wide receiver room, Steph Diggs, who's been your guy this year, and Mac Hollins, who I give him credit, he really stepped up. But he's been having a good year prior to Booty getting hurt, too. So it's not like he just came out of nowhere. He did definitely step up in the absence of Booty, for no question about that. So far, Josh has had to rearrange the offense to do all of that. And with those guys contributing, that's fine. Can you expect, do you expect, the same kind of thing out of Vedarian Lowe and Ben Brown, who are conceivably going to be your guys there on the left side now? Brown at guard, Vedarian Lowe at left tackle. And we've experienced the Vedarian Lowe experience at left tackle.
He's the right guy.
Mm-hmm. Also worth maybe asking, just the question here, if this team potentially put too many eggs into the rookie offensive line basket. Even without these injuries, I think it was a little ambitious to assume that those two guys were going to be good to go all year long, starting from week one to week 17. Another reason why I feel like Mike Vrabel and the gang should have maybe been a little bit more active at the deadline. And Andy said this yesterday, and I totally agree with him. I know that Vrabel came off the field, and when he went and addressed the media, he was, you know, he was upset, obviously, about two of his young players being injured and carted off the field and not knowing what their status was and all of that. I understand that. But when he looked at the media and said, well, thanks a lot for bringing up the health of the team, you guys, it's like, well, you know, the reason why we bring that up, the reason why that's something that gets mentioned all the time is because they've had a really nice run of good health this year. They have. Milton Williams going on IR was the first IR trip that they had this year, I think, right? There was nobody else that went on IR.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys all talking about the injuries this week. So
yeah, right. We appreciate you not trading for anybody at the deadline. And making this a much bigger problem and making this, you know, into a thing. Because, you know, teams get injured. That happens. Pointing that out on our shows and in our columns and whatever, I mean, that's just, I mean, it's basic stuff. Teams, players get injured. It's the NFL. It happens all the time. The fact that there was no, I don't know, I don't want to say no understanding of the fact because I feel like that's a little pejorative, but the fact that there was no acknowledgement of the fact that, yeah, we've had really, really good luck here with these injuries. We should not take that for granted. We should go out into the trade market and make sure we bulk up at positions where we're thin, like offensive line. If they had gone and brought in, you know, a couple of guys on the offensive line for sixth-round picks. I'm not talking about starters. I'm talking about a swing tackle that's an upgrade from Vidarian Lowe. I'm talking about a guy that can move around in the interior maybe a little bit, and that, you know, you don't start over Bradbury. You don't start him over on Wenu, but you don't feel like, oh, man, what a big-time downgrade this is going to this guy. And I'm not sure that that's the way people feel. I'm not sure it's the way the team feels about Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown. Maybe they do. That's who they got going out there, and I think that you certainly have had Mike Vrabel say all the right things about him. I mean, what are you going to say? No, these guys stink. But that's sort of it. Like, the reason why the health of the team got brought up so much is because they've had a very, very charmed run so far. And the reason why it hasn't really come back to bite them, being thin at a lot of these positions, is because they haven't had to go deep into the reserves. They just haven't had to go that deep. The furthest they've had to go down was to Steph Diggs in the wide receiver room and Mac Hollins. And on the running back room, they had to go down to their second-round pick, Travion Henderson. And they survived all of that. Can they survive two guys on the offensive line? I think that's a much, much more complicated question. Also, Drake May. I started to get into this with Andy Hart, and he got very upset. Little Lord Fauntleroy right there. Anytime you ever try and say anything negative about Drake May, he will go into attack mode.
That's what's great about your relationship. A moment ago, you said you agreed with his point, and now you're back at it again.
It's true. Interceptions are starting to pile up a little bit for number 10. Just a little bit. Not a lot. He has six total this year, and four of them have come in the last 5 weeks. I guess here's my question about Drake May. Do you feel like he's still getting better? Do you feel like, and I don't mean like he's, you know, his arm's getting stronger or anything like that, but do you feel like his play over the last 3 weeks has been an improvement on the previous 3 weeks? Do you feel like he's still ascending? Or do you feel like maybe these last 3 weeks have been a little bit of a plateau? A little bit of a plateau. Because I think it's okay if you think that. I kind of think that. And I'm not saying that he's done getting better or that we've seen the best of Drake May this season. As I've said many, many times, I think that he has much higher levels that he can get to. To be playing like this, the way he's played this year at his age, and making some of the throws that he's made, I think you are going on an elevator that's going up and not coming down anytime soon. I really do believe that. I think that's absolutely true. He's a rookie. Well, not a rookie anymore, but he's basically a rookie. Very, very young player in the league. Not a ton of experience. And has started to, in the last three games anyway, in two of those three games, his passer rating has been under 90. Now, that's not terrible. For Mac Jones, that's great. For some quarterbacks, that's, you know, you get up there around 90. Okay, well, now we're doing something. But for Drake May and the numbers that he'd put up over the last, you know, month plus prior to these last 3 weeks, that's very noticeably low. Just based off of the completion percentage, based off of the lack of interceptions for like a 5-6-game stretch where he wasn't throwing any. And now suddenly they're kind of back in his repertoire. They're not great interceptions either. It's not like, you know, they weren't his fault. It's not like the ball got tipped up in the air or the wide receiver had bounced off his hands and the guy picked it. There's interceptions that aren't the fault of the quarterback. That one against the Bengals, that was a total sale job. Total sale job. That interception against Tampa Bay in the end zone was a brutal throw. And that's sort of why I ask, is he continuing to ascend this year? Or have these last 3 weeks maybe been a little bit of a reality check? Maybe, you know, eventually you can't just keep going up and up forever when you hit a certain point. And, you know, to say that Drake May peaked early, I don't think is necessarily where I want to go with this either. Because I don't know what other peaks he has. He goes out there and he kicks ass in a playoff game, then you can't say he peaked in week 10 or whatever. You can't say he peaked in week 8. But if he continues to throw interceptions, if the rating kind of, you know, holds steady around 90, whatever it is, again, that's not bad. It's not like that's something that you bench a guy for. But it is worth pointing out. It's worth looking at. If we're going to go gaga and take our pants off, which I certainly was when he's playing out of his mind, then you also have to analyze what's not going quite as well when he's throwing more interceptions and games are a lot closer against teams they shouldn't be close against. I think that's really what got my attention, the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals made his life so miserable for three quarters of that game. That's what sort of got in my head here, more so even than the interceptions. It's the fact that that was a Bengals defense who's been carved up by every quarterback they've played this year, and Drake May, who's supposed to be so great, went down there to Cincinnati and had a real hard time. Had a hard time with that defense. No one's had a hard time with that defense. That's puzzling, right? I'm not saying I'm freaking out about it, but I'm definitely aware of it. It's definitely got my antenna up, and it should have your antenna up as well. A little bit worried. I mean, listen, eye-popping numbers are eye-popping numbers, and he was putting up video game-type numbers for a while with the completion percentage, some of the throws that he was making. He was absolutely killing it. It's the NFL. People watch film. Teams watch film. You figure out ways to go about it, ways to attack, especially a young QB who hasn't figured out how to read all the defenses in the NFL yet, or you know, how to disguise coverages and the other tricks that these defensive coordinators have up their sleeves. I mean, listen, it's bound to happen like that. The crazy thing is, despite all of this, they're still winning. Despite all of this, they are still winning all of these games. It hasn't really stopped them as far as that's concerned. But I said this yesterday, and I know it got misconstrued, but I'm going to say it again. If they hadn't had a couple of bounces go their way on Sunday, if things had gone the other way, if they had called, let's say they called that pass interference on Jones, on Gesicki at the end there on fourth down, and they got in the end zone, scored, and won the game, we would be looking back at the day that Drake May had and saying that's the reason why they lost. Need a little bit more out of the quarterback in this game. Needed a little bit more out of the QB. And I know he almost threw for 300 yards, but you can't tell me that was one of his better games.
Despite some reports at a training camp that he threw some interceptions, ignore that.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to ignore it. Not when they're 10-2. Early on in the season when you don't know what you got and you're just sort of, you know, figuring everything out. Yeah, okay, I'll look the other way on a pick or two. And I was willing to do that. First couple of interceptions this year, I don't even really remember them. But now, in crunch time here, when you have a bye on the line, when you have a home playoff game on the line, quarterback better maintain what was going on here to get you to this spot. Because he was a huge, huge part of all of that, and a huge part of the reason why I think the Patriots still have a great chance against any of these teams that they play.
Ignore that.
They have the quarterback, right? I mean, listen, you were all saying that before I was. I was skeptical about Drake May. I was the last one on that bandwagon. According to you, they got the quarterback. Okay, well, if they're going to make a deep playoff run, he's going to have to keep playing like that, and less like he played in two out of these last three games against Tampa and certainly against the Bengals. If you're getting that Drake May, you may not be advancing very far. And that's just, I think, especially without the starting offensive lineman. We'll see what happens with that. Luckily, it seems like those guys will be back before the postseason starts. We'll see exactly how long it takes them to rehab their respective injuries. A minor miracle, considering they both got carted off the field. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. John Lyons is going to join the show here in just a moment, but first let's go to the phones and talk to Paul in the car, who has a thought on the injuries with this team. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, yeah, Arcan. I was just wondering, since all the success we had in last year's draft, you know, Will, Travion, Woodson, Borregales, hitting all these draft picks, do you think the reason that they stood at the deadline was because that they hope they can hit again and fix some of these depth issues, and so that doesn't hurt them next year?
Yeah, maybe, Paul. That could be some part of it. I understand, you know, there's still a team that wants to, you know, not trade away. They're not the Colts trading away their first-round draft picks. I get that. But they also have 4 sixth-round picks. 4 of them. You telling me you can't part with any one of your 4 sixth-round picks to get a little depth in the offensive line this year? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not in that room. I know they tried. They said they tried. They were trying all sorts of different things. But they couldn't agree on a deal, which I never, ever like hearing that. Oh, we just tried so hard. We were so active. Well, you didn't try that hard because a lot of other teams made trades and you didn't. 617-779-7937.
Ignore that.
7937 is the phone number. I will not ignore that. That's not true, actually. They did make trades. They traded players away. They traded away Duggar. They traded away Keon White. They made some trades.
Ignore that.
Did not add anybody. I will not ignore it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. John Lyons joins the show. First, here's Joe Braverman. He'll get you caught up on what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Big news of the day comes from the Red Sox. They are acquiring veteran starting pitcher Sonny Gray from the Cardinals for starters Richard Fitz and former number 5 prospect Brandon Clark. The 3-time All-Star Gray was 14-8 with a 4.25 ERA and 32 starts for St. Louis last season. The righty's contract was changed. Gray will get a $21 million guaranteed for this season. He has a $10 million mutual option for 2027. Another report coming out, Sox showing strong interest in Phillies catcher JT Realmuto. Patriots players had the day off today. They'll start prep for tomorrow for their home matchup Monday night against the New York Football Giants. Some roster news. Tackle Thayer Munford Jr. was signed to the 53-man roster off of the Browns practice squad. Also, guard Bill Murray was added to the practice squad. In response, quarterback Alex Austin was placed on injured reserve, and running back Jonathan Ward was released from the practice squad. Some other news in the NFL, Panthers safety Trayvon Morig was suspended by the league for one game following his low blow on 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings after last night's game between San Fran and Carolina. And the Bills are signing veteran wide receiver Brandon Cooks, who was recently released by the Saints. Celtics and Bruins will both return to action Wednesday. Bees will wrap up their road trip against the New York Islanders, and the Seas will host the red-hot Detroit Pistons, who are currently riding a 13-game winning streak. And currently in progress, UMass football playing their season finale against Bowling Green. It is 38-14, Bowling Green on top. UMass is on their way to a winless 2025 season. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Do you think there's a heightened need for that one seed, given some of the injuries, Milton Williams a week ago, and now two on the offensive line, for the Patriots to get healthier and go on a run?
Under any circumstances, the Patriots positively 100% prior to anybody getting hurt really needed the one seed, not just for the bye, but for the opportunity to play whoever you're playing at home. They've been unbelievably fortunate in terms of injuries, whether that be the way Vrabel managed them from July until almost Thanksgiving, or the training staff, or good fortune, or the teams they've played, or the command that they've had in games. They've been really fortunate, but it's inevitable that every single season you're going to have a spate of injuries, and the spate hit them. And they've still been fortunate. They're lucky. They're fortunate. So you want the bye week, but I don't think it radically changes necessarily how they approach this. This is all gravy.
It's Tommy Curran on with the Midday Show, Jones and Keefe. And he's right. Even with this... These two guys getting hurt on the line, they still got pretty fortunate. Neither one of them are done for the year, we don't think, yet. I mean, that was what they said. Expecting both of them to be back before the postseason starts. Milton Williams, he's out for another couple weeks. Stevenson's back. Booty's back. You know, like, it's pretty good. You're doing okay. And the idea that this wasn't going to be a problem, or, you know, you're just going to be able to float through the whole season without having any major injuries, was a pipe dream. Of course it was. I want to address some text messages I'm getting here. 207, didn't have Arcan calling Drake May fool's gold on my bingo card. I did not say that. I did not use those words. But if I did, I would have said, it's fool's gold and it's cubic zirconia, middle of the... It would have taken me 2 hours to say it like Cam Newton. And that is not what I was saying. What I was saying is that against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he was 16 for 31, two touchdowns and a pick. His passer rating was 89.4, which other than the Vegas game was his lowest of the year. And then against the Bengals, 22 of 35, 294 yards, pretty good. Completion percentage was 63. It was 51.6% in that Tampa game. And a passer rating, one touchdown, one interception, by the way, and a passer rating of 87.1. His three lowest passer rating games were those two and the Vegas game. Every other game that he's played in, he's had a passer rating over 100. And what did we do after all of those games? We praised him. We said, Drake May is the greatest thing in the world. I mean, people are going insane for Drake May. That stretch against Carolina, Buffalo, New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta. I mean, all of those. He was amazing in those games. Like, he was incredible. He wasn't throwing interceptions, largely. And in the from Carolina to Tennessee, he didn't throw one pick in that four-game stretch. He's thrown interceptions in four of the last five games that he's played. And in two of the last three, his passer rating has been under 90. And if you're not willing to text, oh, yeah, I guess we should trade him then, Arcand. Who said that? Who called him fool's gold and who said we should trade him? If we're going to talk about how great he is when he's playing well, can we not also acknowledge when it's not quite at that same level? Is that not okay? I mean, like, you can't, if you can't handle that? I've been effusive in my praise of Drake May this year. I'm not Chris Scheim, you know, wants to wear his skin. Like, he's Buffalo Bill. I'm not quite there with it. But I have given credit where credit was due. Absolutely. And the important thing to remember here is that even in these games where he's, you know, throwing more interceptions and when his passer rating isn't quite what it was in some of the other ones, they haven't lost. They're learning these lessons. He's learning these lessons while still continuing to win games. And I think that that's a very important factor to consider here. Because I feel like for a young player in particular, you can move on from that and sort of learn from it and get better, and that's an important thing for Drake May to be able to do. Joining us now from here at WEEI, our good friend John Lyons joins us on the guest line. What's up, Lyons? How are we doing tonight?
Hey, Arcan. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. Do you agree with me that Drake May in the last, I don't know, month or so has not quite looked like the Drake May that we saw in the middle of the season, the guy who was guaranteed over 100 passer rating and whose completion percentage was through the roof and so forth? Would you concede that in these last, I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, he's maybe taken a minor step backwards?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot more difficult when you're not going against that New Orleans and Tennessee defense either, right, as the season has gone on. And it feels like things tipped a little bit in the second half of that Atlanta game. Remember, he had that bad turnover yes. right before halftime. And then I think another big thing, Kayshon Booty got hurt, missed the second half of that Atlanta game. And this is a guy that, you know, as the season has gone on, has shown himself to be one of the most important parts of this offense. And yes, he was back in the Cincinnati game, but outside of drawing that one big pass interference penalty, he did not have a huge impact. So I think that's kind of affecting the passing game a little bit. And if you look at me, I thought outside of that early drive in the rain against Tampa Bay and then that bad end zone interception, I thought he was really good in that game. So there were two bad moments. Other than that, he was really good. Overall, I thought he was really good in the Jets game. And then the Cincinnati game was probably the third worst game he played overall this year behind the two games that they've lost early in the year. Mm-hmm. But even this game, I mean, I say it's the third worst game he played, and he still threw for 294 yards, completed 63% of his passes, had a touchdown. So even when he, quote-unquote, played his third worst game, in my opinion, he still wasn't horrible. Now, he had some horrible moments. Early on, it looked like he was totally out of it, sailing passes left and right. Of course, he had the pick six, which is a bad it wasn't even a bad decision. It was just a really bad throw, yep, too, which was kind of weird. So, I mean, to your question, yeah, he hasn't been as dominant as he was against New Orleans, against Tennessee, the first half of that Atlanta game. But also, again, he's playing teams that, you know, at least defensively, I guess you could say are a little bit better. I know the Jets are kind of a mess, but Cincinnati is...
Cincinnati Bengals are better on defensively than who, John? They're the worst defense in the league.
I know. That's what I'm getting at. Like, Cincinnati is not one of those teams. Like, Cleveland was better. Atlanta was better. Tampa was better. But then you get to the Jets and Cincinnati. I was expecting the numbers to be even better against Cincinnati. I don't think I made that clear when I first said it. So, but yeah, that's why, to me, I looked at Cincinnati as probably his third worst game of the year, because not only was he kind of all over the place early and had the bad pick six, but I did expect a little bit more against such a bad defense.
Yeah, that's sort of where I'm at. I think that's what got my attention the most. If he had had a game like that, you know, like he had against Tampa Bay, I think we all kind of looked bad. Well, Tampa Bay, it's a real team. It's a legitimate defense. That's not a team you have to worry about. I think we were all expecting him to go down to Cincinnati and have his first, like, 400-yard game. You know, like, 300, you have 400 against this team. The Bengals can't stop anybody. And for three quarters of that game, they were all over him. Like, it was kind of scary, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, the Patriots had a pick six, so offensively, they only scored 19 points in this game. You know? And I know you've talked about this, but 19 points against the Bengals, I mean, the Jets scored, what, 38 against them? And the next week, Chicago scored 47 or whatever it was. Like, so, yeah, only 19 offensive points against Cincinnati. It felt like two, and I know people talked about the mini bye week and coming off that Thursday night game against the Jets. Usually that benefits teams, but they did look a little rusty offensively kind of early in that game. Maybe that was it. And it felt like after that pick six, which I do give May credit for his resiliency there. I mean, that's the sign of a good quarterback, is that he can be resilient, right? So I do give him credit for that. And it felt like after that pick six, they kind of settled in and they were better after that. But still, 19 offensive points against a bad Cincinnati defense. You want more than that. And just, look, I know it's, you know, 6 days away, whatever it is here. That New York Giants team, look, they just fired their defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. Their defensive numbers are not good. A lot of them are at the bottom of the league, whether it's red zone, yards, points, all that stuff. But they do have a front four that can get after the passer, whether it's Abdul Carter or Brian Burns, who's got 13 sacks, which is second in the NFL. Dexter Lawrence, the numbers aren't flashy, but he pushes the pocket really well. We'll see if Kayvon Thibodeau plays in that game. He's missed the last two games, but that's a really talented guy. So what I'm getting at is you have two offensive line injuries now. May was good for parts of this game against Cincinnati, but bad early and still not as good overall as you would hope. So it's, you know, you hope the Giants are a team that he can kind of get back on track against before the bye week, but I think it's going to be more difficult than people think.
Now, on the subject of those injuries, Campbell and Wilson going down, that's 40% of your offensive line, two rookies, two guys who have performed well this year. But I want your honest assessment of how good this offensive line has really actually been this year and how much of a downgrade you're getting going from those two guys to Vidarian Lowe and Ben Brown.
Yeah, I think the big downgrade is at left tackle. And look, Jared Wilson is super athletic. I mean, he ran a 4.8 40-yard dash last year. He was a second-team All-SEC guy at Georgia, but last year at Georgia was his first year starting on the offensive line. So this is really only his second year starting, whereas Will Campbell had many starts at LSU to kind of get at least a little bit of experience before he came in the NFL. I think it was 3 years worth of starting total. And I look at that left guard spot, like I think Ben Brown, look, he's not as athletic as Jared Wilson, but I think he can at least fill in and kind of hold his own. The left tackle is the one I'm really concerned about. I mean, we saw this last year with Vidarian Lowe, right? I know it started out, you had a rotation going on there at left tackle. You had your left tackle quit after week two or three, whatever it was last year. But Lowe came in and just did not inspire any confidence last year at left tackle, struggled a lot. We even saw in this game, after Campbell went out, things got shaky at times. So I think that's where the Patriots are really going to have to scheme things, is with the left tackle position, whether it's keeping tight ends in, making sure Stevenson is on that side to help chip block. I think what they're going to do, honestly, Arcan, is for Patriots fans to remember week one of the 2019 season against the Steelers, Patriots spread them all out against TJ Watt and that great pass rush and threw a bunch of quick passes, bunch of play action. I actually went back and watched that game yesterday, and I think the game plan you're going to see against the Giants and maybe the Bills after the bye week as well is going to be a lot of that stuff, because one easy way to get the pressure off a banged-up offensive line is just simply to have your quarterback get rid of the ball as fast as possible.
We're talking with John Lyons. John, why can't this team score on the goal line?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, too, because you go back to that sequence, it felt like they kind of tried everything, right? Yeah. Like, they threw to Hunter Henry. They threw to Kayshon Booty, which technically you can say the play to Kayshon Booty worked because he drew a penalty, and if the guy had not held him, he would have caught a touchdown. But they throw to Kayshon Booty. They throw to Hunter Henry. They run with Stevenson. They did a rollout with May. They run with Henderson. I mean, they did a tush push as well. Like, they did just about everything. And I put it to, and look, I know a lot of people point to that fourth down play call. I didn't like that play call either. But at that point, what was it, Arcan? Their seventh call from inside the 5-yard yeah. line? Like, at some point, your offensive line has to just push and get a yard or two. Like, I look, and that's the tangible moment where, okay, these offensive line injuries. Maybe if you have a fully healthy Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, you can bring Ben Brown in as an extra offensive lineman, and you can get real push in a situation like that. With those guys out, especially going forward, maybe you're going to have some more problems there. And I also think, too, a lot of the red zone, especially that low red area, yeah, scheming things is great. That's sometimes where your A-plus talent guys separate themselves, right? Whether it's elite offensive linemen, which the Patriots don't really – I mean, they have a better offensive line than last year, but it's not elite. They have better playmakers than last year, but nobody that we would classify as elite. Maybe Travion Henderson will get there eventually, but, right, he's not there yet. And it's just that's – you look at all the years the Patriots are good in the red zone. Yes, they had Tom Brady. I know that. They had Bill Belichick. I know that. They also had guys like Rob Gronkowski, who was an elite red zone target, Julian Edelman, right? Elite red zone target, Randy Moss, elite red zone target. They just don't have that right now. So it feels like with these red zone struggles, they're going to kind of have to do their best to piece it together the rest of the year. And it's something that might, unfortunately, not be fully addressed until the offseason.
Yeah, and maybe that's something we'll just have to wait on. But I look at stuff like that. I look at stuff like the openings of the games and the other team scoring on the opening drive every single week and, you know, the run game and some of these other things that just haven't really improved much. And for all the talk about how great Mike Vrabel and this offensive coaching staff is, and defensive coaching staff for that matter too, they've got some on the pass rush and things like that. It seems like the areas where they're weak haven't really improved much over the course of the year. Is that cause for concern with this coaching staff?
I think they're way ahead of where they should be. And, like, we're noticing these things now because they're so far
sure.
ahead. I think a lot of people, myself included, thought they would not win 9 games total this year.
I didn't
year.
Think
so
they'd
right
win
now,
6. I was under 6.
Yeah, no, and you know, you weren't crazy to say that, right? Like, they're 10-2 right now. If they were, let's just say they, you know, they were 7-5 or 6-6, we'd be sitting here saying, hey, they're got to do this and this and this to get to 9 wins. Okay, now they're already there, so now we can look at the things. What's going to hurt them or help them in the playoffs? And that's where these opening drive scores, that could hurt them in the playoffs, giving those up on defense. Red zone struggles on both sides of the ball, that could hurt them on defense. Their lack of depth, right? We just talked about the offensive line, but that's something that for most of their position groups, there's a lack of good depth. That's something that could hurt them in the playoffs. So I think it's one of those things that only so much of this is going to improve in 1 year. And they're a lot better, obviously, than they were a year ago. They're a lot better than they were in August when I was down there at training camp.
Sure.
But because they're ahead of schedule, I think we're now noticing some of these things that maybe, you know, if they were 6-6, would we notice that they're not good in the red zone? Yes, but that would just be one piece of a larger puzzle. Because they're doing so many other things well, that's been even more magnified now.
That is the voice of John Lyons. You can hear it. When do we hear you next, Lyons?
I will be on EEI Thanksgiving morning, Black Friday morning, and Saturday morning. So you got me all holiday weekend.
Hell
this
yeah.
Coming weekend.
I'll be listening all 3 mornings. John Lyons, I'll be listening on my way to a Turkey Bowl game in Dedham, that's for sure. John Lyons, great stuff as always. Look forward to listening to you later on this week. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
All right, John Lyons, the Iron Man, working all through the holidays, going to be on all those mornings. And I'm sure he's going to be bringing it every single morning like he always does. Great stuff tonight here on the Christian Arcan Show. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Going to wrap up our football hour here with some power rankings. And you think I'm being negative here? Fine, you can think that. I'm pointing out things that I've noticed. I'm still very positive on this team. I'm very optimistic about this team and where they can go and what they can do. But I'm pointing out things that I haven't really loved over the last couple of games. And I'm not the only one. In fact, after that win against the Bengals, a certain outlet has this team dropping in their power rankings, if you can believe that. I haven't done that. So if you think I'm being too negative, take it up with the Ringer. We'll get to that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Next.
We've been through so many of those where it's like we're coming in, we're confident, and you just don't play. But it's always the other guy that's making the play. And that's what I love about this team. You never know who's going to come with the big play. It can be Diggs. It could be Hunter Henry. I love the fact that they spread the ball around and find ways to win. And like I said, you never know who's going to make the next big play. And it's similar to our teams. We competed amongst each other. And whoever makes the play, we're all happy. But we all wanted to make that play. You never knew where it was coming from. So the Super Bowl is going through New England.
Ty Law. On a Ty Law Tuesday here, Greg Hill Show. This is the Christian Arcan Show. But I listen every Ty Law Tuesday. I listen every day to every show on the station. I can't get enough of them. And I love Ty Law Tuesdays. And if you
You're
think I'm
player.
Being too negative here, well, then Ty Law, that's there's some positivity for you right there. Just like those great teams, you never know who was going to contribute, but everybody did contribute. That's one thing I said in the immediate aftermath of that Bengals game. I went on the air last night, and that was what I opened with. Yeah, it wasn't a pretty win. And yeah, Drake May didn't look great in most of the quarters of that game. But you had huge contributions from Hunter Henry. Carlton Davis played his best game in a Patriot uniform. They tried to pick on him down the stretch. He knocked away three passes on that last drive. He was awesome. After that penalty on, what's his name there, on the only wide receiver that they had, who was the big free agent. And why the hell can't I think of his name now? Joe, help me out here. Their wide receiver, the Bengals wide receiver.
Are you thinking T. Higgins?
I'm thinking of T. Higgins. I could not get T. Higgins. I could not come up with that name. He had a penalty on T. Higgins. Davis, you know, it was kind of a ticky-tack call, but they called that penalty, and after that, he was unstoppable, Carlton Davis. He was tremendous. On T. Higgins or that kid Tinsley, which I can remember his name and not T. Higgins for some reason. The kid Tinsley, the practice squad guy who burned Christian Gonzalez on that touchdown. Davis had no problems with him, and Davis this year has not been awesome by any means, and he was awesome in that game. He was really awesome. I thought Marcus Jones was excellent, too, even though he got away with a mugging at the end of that game. I thought Morgan Moses was great. Hunter Henry, I already mentioned him, but Hunter Henry was awesome in that game. When it seemed like Drake May was searching for answers, whenever he really needed one, he got it from Hunter Henry. So I'm not telling you it was a terrible game or there's no positives to take away from it or anything like that. But when you look at the season that Drake May's had, it's just you can't – am I supposed to ignore the fact that four of his six touchdowns have come in the last month plus? I mean, that's all true. Two of his worst games, passer rating-wise, have happened in the last three games. You can say that doesn't mean anything. You can say it's fine. You know, he'll be fine. Okay, maybe he will. But the conversation has now gone from Drake May is the best quarterback in the league to he'll be fine. So that's noteworthy in and of itself, I think. The Patriots, according to CBS, were given a B- as a grade for their win over the Bengals. The Bengals also got a B-, so make of that what you will. And they write, the Patriots' offense looked a little sloppy to start the game. In their first three possessions, they totaled just 27 yards, and Drake May threw a pick six. But after the opening quarter, New England took control of the game. Marcus Jones had a pick six in the second quarter, an impressive day for their defense. May rebounded from his bad pick by throwing for 282 yards and a touchdown over the final three quarters. Hunter Henry had his way with the Bengals' defense, catching seven passes, 115 yards, and a touchdown. It would have been easy for the Patriots to overlook the Bengals here, but they went on the road and got the win, and if you combine that with the Buffalo loss, New England took a giant step closer to winning the AFC East. All of that's true, and all of that's more important than whether or not Drake May is going to continue to be an MVP candidate for the rest of the season. That's not really what we're – and I, by the way, think that's probably over. Unless Matthew Stafford has a massive meltdown or Drake May goes on to throw for, you know, 400 yards in every game for the next five games, then I think you're basically looking at 1-2 in the MVP race there with Taylor probably being third. I suppose Allen could have a game or two that, you know, brings his name back into the conversation, but he wasn't good last week. Drake May has been incredible this year. He's been incredible. Even in these games that aren't at his standard, they're good games. It's not like he's been bad. It's not like he's had a three-interception game. He's had one interception in four of the last five games. That's really, for a guy, his amount of experience, that's really not anything to be too worked up about. But it is worth acknowledging. That's all. I just feel like not a lot of people were acknowledging it. Andy Hart didn't want to acknowledge it at all. Ben Solak at ESPN, Solak with an S, said that the Patriots lost the AFC on Sunday. Lost the AFC. And here's his reasoning. Big, big injury news out of New England. Milton Williams already down with a high ankle sprain. And fellow defensive tackle Tonga, who's been excellent, left Sunday's game with a chest injury. Jared Wilson, high ankle sprain. Will Campbell, MCL sprain. Both of them out for a few weeks at least. Even if none of these injuries are season-ending, it's hard to see the Patriots keeping pace with the Broncos for the top seed in the AFC. These players will likely be less than 100% when they return. The best playoff teams are often the healthiest. And that's not New England after Sunday. That's probably the most dire reaction to these injuries that I've seen anywhere from anyone. Even the Ringer, who had them dropping down, it was more about the way they won the game than it was the injuries. And this, I think, is, you know, you say, well, these guys might not be 100%, but they'll be back. They'll be back, though. You're not losing them for the year. You didn't lose Milton Williams for the year. Tonga, we're not sure about Tonga, are we? Do we know what Tonga's retired, what that is? And we'll see in practice this week what that's all about. We know that Wilson's out for a while. We know that Campbell's out for a while. We know that Williams will be out for another couple weeks. But we know that they're all coming back right now. That's the understanding that we all have. And that makes it hard for me to say, yeah, there's no way they can keep pace with the Denver Broncos. You sure about that? I mean, the Patriots still have a pretty easy schedule. They got the Giants coming up here. The Giants, who are, as the midday show likes to say, a bit of a frisky team there. Jameis, I don't know, you get a flea flicker, have Jameis going streaking down the sideline, stride for stride with Christian Gonzalez or whatever. Like, that could be interesting. You know, so maybe the Giants are a little more than what they've been. That was an entertaining game. They do entertain when they play, that's for sure. But they also suck badly. Meanwhile, the Broncos don't have the toughest schedule, but after these next two, they got the Commanders and the Raiders, win-win probably. Then it goes Packers, Jaguars, Chiefs, Chargers, you're saying? You can't keep pace with that? You got the Dolphins and the Jets again. You got Buffalo, who you already beat. You got Baltimore, who looked good against the Jets, but didn't, you know, I don't know. I feel like Jackson wasn't at practice today. Like, there's a possibility that you have to go up against the Ravens team that is missing their best player. That's very possible. And the Broncos, I feel like, just have a tougher slate all around. Packers, Jaguars, Chiefs, Chargers, that's way tougher than what the Patriots have. Way tougher. So, I don't know. I think they can still absolutely keep pace with the Broncos, even with all those injuries. And the fact that they're all going to be coming back, maybe even by, you know, the time we get to those giant Jets and Dolphins games, is even better. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Quick break. When we come back, it's time for your 8 o'clock headlines here on the Christian Arcan Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, now streaming, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.